Welcome to The Good Stuff with Sonoma County Wine Growers. I'm Virginie Boone alongside Carissa Cruz, President CEO of The Wine Growers. We're here to talk about what makes Sonoma County such a special place to grow, make, and enjoy wine. And we're really in January now.
We're so in January. Do you know what? It's not even that we're in January. It's like everything at The Wine Growers is gearing up. Like the spring is so busy with activations for us and all of our partnerships that... It's lucky that I'm here.
Do tell.
It's lucky that I'm here. No, I'm kidding.
Well, we appreciate your presence. Thank you for making the time.
But it is a lot. We do kind of all hit the road. So much coming up, and just a shout out to some of our partners. So coming up next week, we'll be it's the Unified Wine and Grape Symposium. Obviously, one of the biggest wine shows in the world. We always support our partners there and do the regional wine pouring. It's just fun, fast and furious, long lines to get a glass of Sonoma County wine. So got to enjoy that. We are part of the Houston Rockets Gala coming up at the end of the month. So they always bring in Sonoma County wine to serve the players and VIPs, coach, etc., partners. And then super fun, for the first time, we are partnering with the Taste of the NFL and the Gen Youth Foundation. So the day before the Super Bowl, we'll be in the city with a bunch of our winery partners. And exciting. Gen Youth is a nonprofit that supports meals in schools. So really getting food to schools. So it raises money for that and is an organization I'm really familiar with from my background in the dairy industry prior to all things wine and wine grapes.
Right.
And then same coming off the Taste of NFL, will be at World Ag Expo. Our partners, John Deere, are super fun this year. They're doing inside their activation. They actually have a tent that features specialty crop products. So they're going to have like almonds and berries, and we will be pouring Sonoma County wine.
I think you're going to be the product that's the most interesting.
I think so. Yeah, I think so. And then for the first time during that time, we'll also be in Houston. So we'll have part of our team at the World Ag Expo pouring wine. Part of our marketing team will be down in Houston. We have our first Rockets activation at the Toyota Center. And also they do a big VIP wine event at the Post Oak. And we are the official wine partner for that. So that's always fun. And then we're headed to Tahoe that weekend for their first Valentine's Day wine festival at the Golden Nugget, which is part of our land use partnership. So we've got a lot going on. I mean, I'm exhausted just saying all that stuff.
I know. You better take a
like
day
resting
or two
up.
Before all this
totally
kicks in.
Resting up. I know. And that just gets us through the next like 30 days.
Yeah. But it's true. Like by this time in January, like it's no longer holiday time or take time off time. It's go.
Like, I hope you rested.
Yeah.
Because now we're off and running.
And having the Super Bowl in our backyard again
is super
really fun. Really
super fun.
Okay.
I know, gotta love that. I know. So lots of good stuff going on, and a good show coming up today too. We have one of our Century Club members coming in.
Ooh. Okay.
I know.
Are you ready?
I think I'm ready for that.
Okay. Jeff, are you ready?
Yeah.
Okay.
All right.
All right. Well, we will come right back on The Good Stuff to introduce our guest for today. Joining us on today's Good Stuff in studio, we have our guest, Brian Shepherd of Jack London Ranch. Thank you for joining us.
Well, thanks for inviting me. Good morning.
Good morning.
I mean, there's so much to talk about with the Jack London connection. And
you asked me for a brief bio, and I'm like, oh my gosh.
Where do I start?
I'm 70 years old, and so I've got a lot going on in that time, and the ranch has got even more history than that.
Okay, well, so let's start with that. I mean, tell us a little bit about the history of the ranch itself. We should just situate it. It's in Glen Ellen. And it is an official park now, but tell us a little bit about the ranch's history.
Yeah, so going back to the park was originally a part of the ranch. London purchased that property in, I think, 1910, and actually purchased four or five different ranches. He fell in love with it. He came up from the Bay Area, fell in love with it. and just started buying parcels, called it the Beauty Ranch, and started into doing a lot of farming up there. It was a kind of in a dust bowl condition when he purchased it. It was previously owned by a winery, Kroller Froling Winery, that had a sherry barn and another barn that are still standing, part of the park. And but like I said, the soils were depleted, and he wanted to, you know, build it back up into a farming thing. Struck a friendship relationship with Luther Burbank to start a kind of figure out some of that farming stuff. I mean, he wasn't a farmer. I mean, his background, basically, people know, an author, but a traveler, world traveler. Did a lot on the San Francisco Bay as far as being an oyster pirate and also monitoring the oyster pirates.
Oyster pirates. That's not something I hear very often.
Yeah.
There's, I have a real visual, though.
Yeah. There are a lot of different types of pirates, I guess.
Yeah,
that's what some of his books. His books were, he wrote a book called Tales of the Fish Patrol, and that covered that. Mm-hmm. So London was there. He developed. He kind of looked at the properties and said, wow, this place has been destroyed in a short period of time. He had traveled previously to Japan and Korea covering the wars over there and was struck by the fact that they were able to farm for thousands of years. So he took some of the things that he learned there, the terracing, which still remains on parts of the ranch that we've planted with vineyards, and the use of green manures and things like that that he started incorporating. So it's kind of cool with, you know, jump to now, right? Yeah. Regenerative farming, sustainable farming.
We have names for what he was doing now.
Right. Organic farming, which back then was just farming, right?
Right.
They
of course,
really,
yeah.
I don't think they had chemicals to do anything. So,
right.
Yeah. So that's Jack London's piece of it. And then he had a half-sister, Eliza London Shepherd, who was my great-grandmother.
Okay.
And
so
that's how the lineage catches in here. And she was basically the backbone. She ran the ranch. She took care of all of Jack's money. When him and Charmian were sailing the South Seas, she was doing all the book contracts back in New York with the publishers and just made things run.
Yeah.
My daughter's name is Eliza. So she was just a dynamic woman, you know, daughters of the American Revolution. She was an attorney. She was just, you know, kind of ahead of her times and really did a lot. So she managed the ranch. She had one son, Irving Shepherd, who was my grandfather. And so he, as Eliza got older, he managed the ranch with her. And eventually he married and had four kids. And one was my father, Milo Shepherd.
Mm-hmm.
And in the, after the World War II in the 40s, they started a dairy. So there was a dairy on there. Between Jack London and Eliza, there was just various row cropping, just much as it is now, trying to make a living on agriculture property, you know, is basically what they were doing. And then after the World War II, they started a dairy. And the dairy was it was the farming activity when I was a kid. So I was born in 55, lived on the ranch my whole life. And the dairy ran until about 1965. My dad and his brother ran the dairy. My dad was younger and didn't really enjoy it after a period of time.
Okay.
My mother didn't enjoy it ever.
There you go.
And so my dad went to work for the California State Parks, and he left the dairy, went to work for the state parks. Subsequently, my uncle died. My grandfather was probably in his 60s or so, no longer wanted to run the dairy, sold the dairy off, and then leased the property to another dairy out in Sebastopol, Jack Day, whose family I think is still running dairies out in Sebastopol. And then my father got tired of the state parks, came back to the ranch in 1972 and told his father we need to do something with this property or we'll lose it. And that's when the first grapes were planted in 1972.
Okay. What inspired him to plant grapes?
Well, you know, Sonoma County is facing a big problem right now. We have wine grapes as the only agricultural product that can produce any modicum of income. And that's the way it was then, too. Mm-hmm. You know, beef cattle, maybe. Dairy, been there, done that. He was fast friends with Fred Cundy and the Cundy family across the way in Kenwood. And so he took some leadership from Fred, and they figured they had to do something. You know, the property at that time was about 1,200 acres, and with no income. By that time, the Jack London royalties were kind of next to nothing. You know, they become public domain after a certain period of time. So, so that was the impetus to plant vineyards. Planted 30 acres in 73. That's the year I graduated from high school, and that was my summer job. And
of course,
right?
Free labor.
And then I was kind of lost, had nothing much. I wasn't really impressed or struck by staying in the vineyard business, so I joined the Army and took off and sort of did 3 years in the Army, did some travel, and then came back in 1980 to work for my father and the family. Planted another 40 acres then. And lived on that property for about 4 years. Yeah.
Okay. So go back a little bit to, I mean, Jack London's sort of credited with coming up with, he had a book called Valley of the Moon, and that's sort of where that part of Sonoma County is referred to as Valley of the Moon. Was he already on the ranch? Had he bought the property at that point for that book, or did the book inspire the property?
I think he owned the property when he wrote the book. I don't know exactly. I don't know the publishing dates or anything.
Right, but he was inspired by something.
Mm. Right, because he had come up to the valley and subsequently lived there and probably published it from living there.
That makes sense.
Yeah. I mean, I love
history.
It.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. No, such a storied. Literally.
Right. And a very popular book for its time, which, you know, I just wonder how many other people were inspired to come to Sonoma County from that, from his sort of descriptions of it. But going back to the property, too, I mean, didn't Jack at some point have sort of a flirtation with eucalyptus and going into the timber business, too? Which
totally.
Yeah.
Yeah. A lot of the property, even today, there's a fair amount of eucalyptus, and there was a fair amount of eucalyptus that needed to be cleared to plant grapevines.
Yeah, because my understanding was it never really panned out. Like, he chose the wrong kind of eucalyptus,
So I'll tell you two stories about that. One was it was all planted in rows. And as kids, we said, Jack London had a few too many pops and thought he was planting grapevines and picked the wrong thing. That was
Could have been true.
Which was our story. But the truth is it was a recommendation from the U.S. Department of Agriculture to plant eucalyptus. Eucalyptus was supposed to be the regenerative of redwood, and it was going to be used for what we use redwood, railroad ties, house building. But there's like 250 varieties of eucalyptus.
I had no idea.
I think the USDA.
Neither did he.
Yeah, I guess.
Neither did the USDA. They selected the wrong one or said, you've seen one eucalyptus, you've seen them all, or something like that. And so, that's how they ended up with so many eucalyptus.
So they weren't really useful for anything.
No.
And, that was a bad bet.
In my lifetime there, they did go through once and sell it for wood pulp. Yeah. So they just came in and chipped it and hauled it off, I think once or twice they did. But other than that, no, eucalyptus does not.
Yeah.
And they're just messy.
Yeah, you know, it does.
I was going to say, we had them at my original ranch out here. I was like, oh.
Yeah, it actually imparts a real heavy menthol.
Like an oil,
very much so.
To the grapes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I have had complaints from winemakers about the...
It's too menthol-y, yeah.
Yeah, there's a vineyard in Napa Heights Vineyards, very famous, Martha's Vineyard, which is very heavily eucalyptus flavor, but it's looked as a positive, not a negative. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of like
Kind of an interesting.
You do like it or you hate it.
You don't. Yeah. Right. Yeah.
It depends on it, because it can be overpowering.
So I'm trying to. So the park connection that your father had, is this how Jack London State Park happened? Was your dad's
connection?
That
actually happened before my dad. So my grandfather, the early 60s, kind of realized. So there was what the original park was, the House of Happy Walls, which is the museum, which Charmian built as her house after Jack died. And then there's the Wolf House ruins. And that encompasses about 40 acres. Mm-hmm. And my grandfather donated that to the state in the early 60s, knowing that he couldn't maintain it. He knew it had historical value, so he just gave it to the state.
Wow.
And then subsequently, when my grandmother died and then my grandfather died, most of the rest of the property was sold to the state so they could enlarge their property. So it was like in 1975, my grandfather died, and it's like, okay, you got inheritance tax, you know, $100,000, and it's like, well, we don't have $100,000. How about 1,000 acres, you know, something like that.
Yeah,
so that's how that the rest of the park became. So after all of that shook out, the barns and things like that went to the state. The family ended up with 178 gross acres. We had about 100. We ended up planting about 125 of that to wine grapes.
Did you find we have to take a break pretty soon, but I want to come back to this, like, you know, your piece of the grape side, you know, like coming back to Sonoma County was one thing for you after traveling and being in the Army, but taking to wine grape agriculture in particular is what I kind of want to get into when we get back.
Sure.
Yeah.
Let's do it. Quick break, and we'll be back on the good stuff.
Stuff with our guests today, Brian Shepherd, steward of Jack London Ranch, part of a Century Club farming family, which we can talk about later as well, but in Sonoma Valley, Glen Ellen specifically. So, I kind of wanted to know a little bit more about how you learned the grape business. It looks like you had some experience working. You came back to the family property, but then you went out to learn more.
And then
you
left the family property.
Well, I mean, he went to benefit.
Basically started in 1980. Got back and lived on the ranch and worked with my dad. And my dad, this is a great story. He says, so this is what you want to do? And I'm going, yeah. And he hands me a shovel and says, go work with the crew. And true story.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And he says, come back when you had enough. And, you know, half a day or so, I've got blisters and things. And I said, wow. And he goes, yeah. He says, you can't manage a person or tell people what to do until you know what is involved in it.
Mm-hmm. It's true.
The workers look like they're going slow, but they're slow and steady, working all day. So anyhow, that was my introduction. Mm-hmm. So I worked on the ranch and also went to Santa Rosa Junior College. The great college, great VIT program, Rich Thomas, they had it set up to where, you know, a four-unit class would be a half a day type of a thing. So I could get 8 units in just one day. Mm-hmm. And then I did some night classes. You know, the ag business was run by the American Ag Credit, had a guy teaching the ag business, you know, winery practices with Stu Smith, you know. So it was, I mean, just a fantastic program, a vocational program. So given that I was working and doing that, it took me 4 years to get through all of that business and that. And so I had 4 years of working. Mm-hmm. Now, working on the ranch was a little bit unique. This was back in the AXR days. Okay. Resistant rootstock was this fantastic rootstock that you really didn't have to do anything with but put it in the dirt. Back then, everything was dry farmed up there. We didn't have any irrigation system, so I knew nothing about drip irrigation. We're at about 600 foot elevation. Mm-hmm. We don't have frost. I don't know anything about frost. The soils are volcanic soils, and for the most part are very, very nice, great, rich soils. I don't know anything about fertilizer.
You know. That's so funny.
But I did learn labor management, working with the crews. You know, I had Spanish in grammar school all the way through high school. And then working in the crews, it was basically speak Spanish or talk to myself kind of a deal, you know. So I was able to pick up Spanish. So a lot of little tools that were real helpful. And then after 4 years on the ranch, by that time I was married. We had my daughter, Eliza, and there just wasn't enough income on the ranch to support my family. And my dad and his two sisters also were owners. And so I left the ranch and ended up in Geyserville at a place and learned real quickly what I didn't know that I thought I knew all kinds of stuff. I worked for Chip Leith, who had a tragic airplane accident after I left there. Then I went to Buena Vista for a while, and then I drove tractor for Joe Votek. Mike Benziger was our neighbor.
Yeah.
And then I eventually landed a harvest job over in Napa working for Andy Beckstoffer. And I got worked through the harvest. They offered me a foreman position and worked there for 4 years. And then went to work for Walsh Vineyards Management, which also in Napa, vineyard management company. And that was 1989, and I stayed there and eventually became an owner with another couple of people there. And ended up until 2021 when I retired.
Okay. Well, yeah, I mean, so you really spent a lot of time on a lot of different properties. I mean, that's what a great education.
And especially like at Walsh, Vineyard Man, I mean, we were... They do quite a bit more now, but we were basically Carneros based and up valley up to Rutherford. But we, you know, 15, 20 client vineyards, maybe not 15, 20 clients, but client vineyards. Mm-hmm. And yeah, a huge array. And everybody was farming a little differently. You know, there were banks, you know, investment people that had real strict budgets, and you've got $2,000 for repair and maintenance, and you just stopped and then you had other investors. Or, but most of our clients were wineries too, so it was a real niche, and it was actually where you want to be in the vineyard management company, as far as them having a little bit more money, the margins and stuff, they could, you know, deal with a finished product and could pay a little more. We could pay our employees more. Mm-hmm. We could just do a little bit better and learn how to get a little bit more quality out of doing those things. Yeah.
And so along all this trajectory for you, are you investing in the ranch still? Is your dad just managing that and you're popping in and out? Or are you?
Yeah, so it's pretty interesting. you know, I learned to I didn't really get into really helping my dad a whole lot till he was probably in his 60s or so. And then he finally understood that I did know a little things, you know.
He didn't just hand you a shovel anymore.
No, yeah. It was usually something like if I wanted him to really go somewhere, I said, well, talk to Fred and see if Fred's doing it this way. And if Fred's doing it, then it's okay. Mm. You know, if it's kind of like somebody else's idea. Mm-hmm.
Someone else validates
yeah.
it. Yeah.
I mean, I was always, you know.
I know how that works.
The same way, I mean, I'm kind of the age that he was, and I have kids in the industry, and it's like, yeah, what do you know, kind of a thing. You know? You don't know what I know.
Wait, so we become our parents. Wait a minute.
Yeah,
look out. Look out, you know, so.
So 2021, you left Walsh, and then...
Yeah, so getting back to your question about the involvement with the ranch, so my father retired when he was 65, and he had a vineyard management company, not our company, but a Sonoma Valley Chuy Ordaz management company, doing the farming. We knew Chuy from when he worked at Kenwood, and then when... Corbell bought Kenwood, Chuy went out on his own, and so he had been farming. So the day-to-day stuff, I would talk to my dad or check out what Chuy's doing and stuff like that. And that relationship is still going on. Chuy's still farming. His son, Junior, is actually doing more of the day-to-day stuff. I interact with him, mm-hmm. and that's how we get the things done up there. So... they asked me a little bit on the replant, you know, what do you think? And I told them, and it was going to cost too much money to do it that way. So they decided to do it their own way. And it's like, fine, you know, yeah.
Yeah, because you were so used to working with all these different winery clients, to your point of like all these different budgets. And it's a little different when it's maybe your money.
Home ranch.
Your money, yeah.
Yeah, and Sonoma County and a grower. You know, Sonoma County grower is, you know, we're fortunate. We're not a Lake County or Mendocino County grower, you know, but it's still, the margins are just, it's just tough and trying to come up with capital or whatever, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I think especially as a grower, and you don't get to try to find those margins on the actual finished bottle of wine. So it's a little trickier.
No. Mm-hmm.
It really
yeah.
is.
Yeah.
You know, yeah, it really is.
Okay, well, we need to take another quick break. We will be right back on with Brian Shepherd. Shepherd on today's Good Stuff, steward of Jack London Ranch, part of a Century Club.
Steward of Jack London Ranch.
I know.
Because we're talking off the air about the next generation and how important that is to you. So that definitely mm-hmm. is stewardship. So maybe talk about recently met your son, because he was with you at the Century Club luncheon where you were recognized as a 100-plus year farming family legacy. So, what's the future hold?
Well, we'll see. So, right now, active participants. So on the ranch itself, there's some different parcels and stuff. And two of my cousins that were my aunt's children live on parcels.
Okay.
And my brother has a parcel that my father left him. So there's those three living there. I operate the ranch with my cousin Steve Schaefer. That's his mother's married name, and he's very active in more on the business end, and I manage the farming end. He has three kids, and one of them is becoming more and more active, you know, shadowing, doing the day to day, kind of watching the business stuff and doing that. So we're bringing him along to cover Steve's piece of it. I'm on the ag piece of it. My son is still working at Walsh Vineyards, and so he's doing similar to what I do or what I did. He's got his day job. Mm-hmm. If I need help, if I need crews, if I have a question, he's a resource for me. And if anything were to happen to me, it would be real easy for him to just step in and manage Chewy's crews or Chewy, because it's not a day-to-day running the crew business. Mm-hmm. And then also on my property is my youngest son, who used to work for me at Walsh. He's a mechanic, a trained mechanic, and worked there as a mechanic. So he's doing not as much of the VIT stuff, but making sure everything operates on the ranch. So on that ranch, everybody's like 70 years or older. And so Nicholas is the go-to guy. Tree fell down, power's out, water's out.
Yep.
Yeah, which happens a lot.
I'm going away.
I was going to say, you know all too well the Kenwood area.
It happens.
Yeah. I'm going away. Can you watch the house? Those kind of things. Yeah. So, and he really has an appreciation and a love for the property as well. So that's our kind of succession planning right now. I mean, as far as who's going to steward and who's going to watch. Yeah. And I think I know on my side and the kids that I have, I mean, Eliza lived there for 4 years. She was 4 years old when we left, but she still has fond memories. And her son, she's got a 6-year-old, and they come up to the ranch every once a week. Nicholas picks him up from school and brings them up. So there is a real continuity. So the love is there. The heart is there. It's just going to be see if the finances work out.
Yeah.
Can hold on to everything.
Right. Can you talk a little bit in the time that we have remaining just about some of the winery partners that you've worked with or where some of the grapes have gone? Are there ways that people can taste the ranch?
Well, it's pretty easy. Everything goes to Kenwood Winery. In 1976 was the first crop, and my dad sold half of it to Chateau St. Jean. So at that time, there was Pinot Noir and Cabernet. And he sold half to Chateau St. Jean and half to Kenwood, to the Lees, and Dick Arrowwood was at Chateau St. Jean. And then the next year, in 77, Dick said, well, all I want is the Cab. I don't want the Pinot. And Mike Lee said, we'll take everything. And so since then, everything's gone
That's
to Kenwood.
That.
A relationship was born,
yeah.
And it's on the label. I've seen those labels. Yeah,
They've changed the label. So it was the Lees for I don't know how long, 30 years. Then Korbel had it. Mm-hmm. They've since sold it to Pernod for the last 10 or 12 years or so. And Pernod has changed the label somewhat. They still have the wolf head on one, but they've brought out some other labels as well. But everything is. And right now there's the 3-4 varieties. There's a Syrah, Zinfandel, Cabernet Sauvignon, and Merlot.
Yeah, fantastic. I mean, it's so great to have those on the labels and to have
the longevity of that relationship.
Decades of vintages.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
And people to experience the ranch, they just have to go to Jack London State Park.
State Park
it's
and
right
the
there.
Vineyards that are around there are Jack London Vineyards. Yeah, and the Kenwood actually has signage up. it says what's going on and where the grapes go.
I know, that's great.
It's a great place to visit. You learn so much about the history and the houses and Jack London's time here. So we really want to thank you for joining us on today's Good Stuff, Brian. And for,
thanks for letting me share.
And taking care of this property.
Yeah.
Super.
All right. To wrap things up on the Good Stuff. And what do you know? Another Century Club member with an interesting story.
I know. I mean, I mean, related to Jack London.
Yeah. I mean, it really is worth a visit. It's a beautiful park, but you can go into some of these places that he mentioned, the old wineries, the old distilleries, the House of Happy Walls, all that stuff.
I know.
See the eucalyptus, unfortunately.
See the eucalyptus, see the surrounding vineyards.
But you can definitely see the vineyard that, you know, that his family has absolutely taken care of all this time. And that, you know, it's cool that it's just hidden away up there.
I know. And yeah, and with all literally all that history and sort of the transition, and now, right, he was Brian's fourth generation, his kids fifth, and then the grandkids.
Yeah.
Sixth. Super cool.
Yeah.
Well, and also a big shout out to Kenwood, I mean, winery, and I think, I mean, to have that sort of longevity and even through ownership transition with a grower, I think is very, very cool. And people should definitely go to kenwoodvineyards.com or go visit them and look up the Jack London wines and try them.
And see the labels over the years, too, because I do think you can go back a fair amount and
Have that experience.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So there you go, folks. Go to Kenwood Vineyards, their website, kenwoodvineyards.com.
Yep. kenwoodvineyards.com and go to Jack London State Park.
And I know it's going to be a surprise since I just shouted out the website what my Good Stuff Tuesday Night Wine's going to be. I know. Are you in suspense?
Well, how many choices
Thank
could there
you.
Be?
I like the drum roll. We say don't pound anything unless you're doing the drum roll. I'm going to do the Kenwood Vineyards, but I'm going to do their Jack London Dry Farmed Cabernet Sauvignon from 2021.
Lovely.
Well, yeah, I think that's their current vintage, so pretty excited about that.
Yeah. And I like that he mentioned that, like, you know, they have so many different variations now, because I do remember it starting with Cab, Merlot, and Zinfandel. So now he mentioned that there were even like a Sauvignon Blanc and all that sort of stuff. And Mike Lee, when he was the winemaker at Kenwood Vineyards, was an exceptional winemaker in general, but he was one of the early ones to really master Sauvignon Blanc. So I appreciate that too. But I'm going to go a little, it's still a Mike Lee connection, but up on Moon Mountain, there's a vineyard called Monticello, you hear it different ways, also farmed by Chewy. And a few years ago, after Mike Lee passing and his wife decided to sell the property to some very good stewards, let's say, yet again. It's Stewart Cellars. So they make a Stewart Cellars Cabernet from Moon Mountain and from
That's
this
cool.
vineyard that Mike Lee and his wife used to own.
I don't know that wine. That's cool.
It's very cool. It's volcanic soils. It butts up right against another state park, Sugarloaf, up there. So beautiful place and another kind of nod to that part of history.
Yeah. The Valley of the Moon.
The Valley
Moon
of
Mountain.
The Moon. Yes.
Kenwood.
You see, there's a lot.
All the things.
And as you mentioned, you know, Jack London State Park also borders sort of the Benziger property.
Yeah.
There are a few other kind of wine-related things up there. It's not far from Laurel Glen, who we've had on.
And also just the town of Glen Ellen, which has some great restaurants.
It certainly does.
And some dive bars.
Yes. The Jack London
exactly.
Saloon, let's just say.
Another
part of Jack London's history is he did love a drink or two.
I ended up on a very long hike out of our property on Sonoma Mountain Road.
Yep.
Ended up being 8 miles, and we were brilliant. Thought we won't bring our cell phones because we should really just check out. And then finally ended up at the Jack London Saloon, where we basically had one credit card, got ourselves some drinks, and then had to figure out how to get ourselves home.
Where all good hikes end. Well,
yeah, I know. We earned it for sure. But what a beautiful hike, that right through the property. So super cool.
Okay. Well, from Sonoma County to wherever you are, remember to drink the good stuff.
Cheers to that.